How important is it what you think about? A lot of times we place an importance on what we say and what we do, and yes, that is vitally important. But my question tonight is, how important is it what you think about? How important is it what you think about God? In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, it talks about, you know, to be careful, you know, when somebody comes giving you dainty meat, somebody with an evil eye. And it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And somebody might do something outwardly that could appear one way, although their evil eye kind of lends to show who they really are. But what they're thinking in their heart is actually what they're really doing towards you. And what they're doing, it might just be an underhanded means to try to get something else from you. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, it talks about how out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And yes, our words are important, but what we think is vitally important because it's going to influence what we say. But tonight I'd like us to really focus on what are your thoughts about God. You know, the wicked, God is not in all his thoughts. You know, the wicked don't think about God. You know, how much do you as a Christian think about God? You know, spring is a beautiful time of year. And as you see, you know, really the beauty of God's creation. You know, as you step outside, you know, this morning, in the, just a beautiful day. You know, where do your thoughts go to? I'd like you to go to Psalm 104. And here I think we have the psalmist reflecting on God, looking at creation, looking at the wonderful, the majestic, the inspiring things that God has made, his wonderful works. And he comes to the end of the passage, Psalm 104, verse 33. And he says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Now notice his thinking here. He says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. You know, first of all, I'd like us just to see some of the content of his meditation. And we're just going to look at four categories that he meditated, that he was musing or he was thinking about God. First category is his wonders or his works. Notice what it says here in the passage in verse number 24. We're not going to go through necessarily all the passage, but verse 24 he says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. You know, one area about God that we can meditate on are the works of God. You know, maybe you can even think back on today. You know, we can forget easily, but what about today? How much time did you spend thinking about God? How much time maybe did you spend meditating on his works in your life? You know, as you stepped outside and you, boy, what a beautiful day. Did you reflect upon the goodness of God in providing that wonderful day that we have? You know, so many people today have developed a persnickety attitude, a negative attitude towards God because they think about God in the wrong way. You know, do we meditate on God? He says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In Psalm number 78 and verse 7, let's start in verse 6. It says, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know how important it is for young people to know the works of God. I wonder, parents, what kind of an attitude toward God and toward His works are you displaying at home? You know, do you have a negative attitude or do you have a positive attitude? And, you know, Taylor just gave a little illustration today. And so, you know, one of his siblings, you know, said something about, yeah, they're going to the park, and, you know, that it was, you know, complained about, boy, I wish it wasn't raining today. And his dad said something to the effect that, well, don't you think God knows what is best for our day to day, or something along those lines. And, you know, do we have a, as parents, what kind of an attitude towards God are we displaying, even in the simple things of life? You know, do we comment on God's goodness to us? Are our children developing a positive attitude towards God and towards His working, even in the small things of life? And here, it was important in Psalm 78 that the children understood God's workings, that they knew His workings in the past, so that their confidence and hope might be in Him. Over in Psalm 103, Psalm right before 104, if you're mathematically challenged, no. Psalm 103 and verse number 22. 103 verse 22, it says, "Bless the Lord." Notice this psalmist, "all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Do you understand the great working of God all throughout our world, in every aspect of your life? Is that a content of your meditation? You know, in John chapter 9 and verse number 3, I believe it was the man that was born blind. And one of the things that, you know, Christ said, talked about how that the people might know the works of God, was this man born blind. And, you know, it's God wants His work to be seen. And as we look across this world, do we see the works of God? Going along with that, the second category of the content of our meditation is His wisdom. Notice what it says there in verse number 24 of Psalm 104. It says, "O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all." You know, an evolutionist misses out on so much because he doesn't see the wisdom of God in creation. You know, sometimes there's the, you know, program on VCY where in Saturday mornings they talk about the different animals and how God made them and the unique features that they have, or, you know, going through the winter and maybe their colors change and different things. And, you know, the wisdom of God in making all of these different things. You know, do we see His wisdom in the works of God that are all around us? Do we see His wisdom in His working in our lives? The children of Israel, when King Solomon came to the throne, saw the wisdom of God displayed in a man. If we let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 4. Well, actually, let's go to chapter. Well, we'll start in chapter 4, 1 Kings 4:29. It says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." Now, where did all this wisdom come from? Well, it came from God. You know, do we understand? I mean, we know in our head knowledge that God is wise. But here, in the children of Israel had a living representation before them of how wise God was. Verse number 28 of the previous chapter, chapter 3, it says, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." Now, do we really understand how wise God is? Do we meditate on his wisdom? Do we see his works? And does it create a sense of awe of the greatness of his wisdom? And then to think, you know, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Boy, as we meditate upon God, as we see his works around us, it ought to drive us to think of the fact that what an amazing, wise God that we have. So his wisdom. In Job chapter 39, as God is speaking to Job, he says, Job 39 verse 26, he asks him a question relating to the hawk. And verse 26 says, "Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south?" No, it's interesting that God goes through a number of things from nature to show his greatness. And here he comments on the hawk. I mean, you know, you think of the hawk can, you know, dive down at, you know, 120 miles an hour, catches prey. The hawk can see like 8 times better than you can see. You know, from 100 feet up, he can spot a mouse. And, you know, amazing. A hawk can actually catch a rattlesnake. And he spreads his wings out, and so the rattlesnake will go for the wings, which it'll be harmless to him if he hits its feathers. And then he'll, you know, pounce on the rattlesnake with his talons and then use his beak to get the head. And they can actually catch a rattlesnake. You know, where does all that come from? Well, that wisdom is from God. He uniquely created each animal that is out there. You know, as we look around us, may we not just allow these things just to pass by us as if they are nothing, but may our thoughts turn to the God of heaven and how wise he is. And, you know, it ought to motivate us to what? Realize that he is the all-wise God who has a perfect will for our lives. So the first area, his wonders or his work. Second area we can meditate on is his wisdom. And then thirdly, as we go back to Psalm 104, the third area that we can meditate on, back to verse 24, it says, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." And the third area we can meditate on is his wealth. You know, think of the wealth of God. It reminds us that, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, we like to think that, you know, the things we have, we own. You know, maybe somebody owns some big mine. Well, ultimately, all that came from who? It came from God. The earth is full of his riches. What an amazing fact that we get to enjoy his substance, what he created. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17. As we think of the wealth of God, this verse kind of puts it in perspective. Verse 17, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Boy, God has been so good to us. He's made this amazing world, and He's given it to us to enjoy. But it should not become an end in itself. You know, the Bible says, don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the what? The living God who gave us all things to enjoy. You know, maybe tonight we just need to step back in our lives and say, who are we enjoying? Are we enjoying a what? Or are we enjoying the God of heaven who gave us these things to enjoy? So His wealth. You know, don't trust in these things, but look in dependence to the God of heaven that has provided them. And then the fourth area I'd like us to see is His watch care. Back in Psalm 104, the psalmist points out the watch care of God even amongst His creation. It says in verses 13 and 14, it says, "He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle." You know, I don't know if they're out there tonight, but the cattle have been enjoying that field out there of rye that's been growing. "An herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth." You know, the watch care of God. You think of the rain that God provides. You know, how dependent are we on the rain? We're extremely dependent. God's the one that gives us that rain. You know, He's the one that created the water cycle. And, you know, man can try to turn his back on God and point to God, and yet, if it wasn't for God, there wouldn't be any rain. If we didn't have any rain, there wouldn't be what? Boy, we'd have a hard time eating, wouldn't we? Verse number 18, it says, "The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies." Verse number 21, "The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God." Verse number 29, "Thou hidest Thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust." You know, we're completely dependent upon God. Verse 27, "These wait all upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season." You know, as we look around, do we see the watch care of God? The content. But then quickly, the cause, what should be the course of our meditation? Where should it lead us to? Verse number 33, there's four things: praise, faithfulness, thoughtfulness or meditation, and number four, joyfulness. As we are on this course of meditation, notice the praise. He says in verse 33, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." As he was meditating upon God, the result was praise. Notice it was personal. He says, "I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." The second thing it produced was faithfulness. He says, "As long as I live, while I have my being." You know, if you are meditating on God properly, you're going to be faithful to God. If you really understand who God is and you interpret things according to the Word of God and you think biblical thoughts about God, it's going to result in faithfulness. Look at what the psalmist said: "While I have my being, I will sing praise to," he says, "I will sing to the Lord as" what? "As long as I live." After thinking about all that God had done, it was going to be praise. It was going to be faithfulness. There's nothing else he could do. He says, "My meditation of him shall be sweet." Right? He was going to have the right perspective on God. It was going to be sweet. It was going to be something agreeable, something pleasant. You know, are your thoughts about God pleasant? He says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. And then notice joyfulness. He says, I will be glad in the Lord. You know, if you don't have much joy in your life, maybe you haven't been meditating on God correctly. Because here the psalmist, the result was, I will be glad in the Lord. Notice Psalm 94, verse 19, and we'll close with this verse. Psalm 94, verse 19, he says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us to think, Lord, about you. But Lord, not just to think about you, but to think correctly about you. And Lord, may we be able to say, as the psalmist said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. And Lord, as we meditate upon you, may it lead us to praise you. And Lord, to cling close to you as we realize how good you are. And Lord, I pray that each one tonight, Lord, even as they go throughout the rest of their evening, as they go throughout their day tomorrow, Lord, may they just spend time seeking to think about you, Lord, as they step outside and enjoy, Lord, the fresh air of spring. May it remind them of the great God that created the very air that they breathe. And Lord, may you help us not to be as the wicked, Lord, who do not think on you. But Lord, may we meditate on us, on you. And Lord, may it bring that joy and comfort, Lord, to our lives. And we just pray that you would use your word, Lord, to accomplish your will that you would have for it in each one of our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.